I'm Robbie Knox, and I'm the landlord of the Moon Underwater, a mystical place where guests create their dream pub. Hello and welcome back to The Moon Underwater, where we are with Jacob Hawley creating his dream pub, and it is a cracker so far, full of beer deluxe we're enjoying as we speak. How's the beer deluxe going down?
Too easily.
Your second one.
That's the beauty of it, though. I'm halfway through a second one, but I'm only 250 millilitres in, okay. I'm doing all right.
Play on.
You can feel a little bit naughty you're having a second one, but at the same time, it's just the second half of a... You know,
fifth swig.
Yeah, exactly.
It's safe. Yeah, I wonder how many swigs you could get one of those down in.
I'm not suggesting that feels like a dangerous game for a Monday afternoon.
Exactly. And only just afternoon, 12:20 for recording this. Dan, before the interval, you had a pub quiz on the go.
Yeah, human body. Mm-hmm. So, six parts of the human body. The first one, tell me where this is. The philtrum.
So should we take any ideas? We'll both think of our ideas and then we'll take turns to go first.
Yeah.
Jacob, do you want to take this one first?
Sure. Philtrum. I'm going to go leg.
Your leg? Okay, Robbie.
I'm going to go heart.
Oh, no. Your philtrum is this, the cleft here between your nose and your lips. Okay. So nil-nil so far. That's the that's from the Greek word for love charm.
Very nice.
Which is quite sweet.
My son has a bit of a sore on his philtrum at the moment.
Does it?
I'm gonna someone's mind later. His philtrum's a bit red, isn't it?
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Second one. The lingual frenulum. Robbie first.
I'll go
on
first.
This one.
So lingual makes me think.
A little clue in there.
Speaking. Mm-hmm. I think it's a part of the throat.
Okay.
I had exact same thought process, but it led me to the tongue.
Yes, I'm going to give that to Jacob. It is the ligament that attaches your tongue to your mouth.
One of my children had tongue tie and had to have their
lingual
frenulum cut.
Oh, really?
So we can both use our new words around children. Yeah. How's your lingual frenulum healed up in the last 12 years, Kitty?
Good dads over here.
Smashing it.
Know the Greek for their ailments.
Yeah. Okay, three. I think there's clues in this one as well. Digitus pedis primus. Jacob's
this was when you first listed these off, I was like, that's the one where the clue's easier. I believe that would be a finger digit.
Oh, you see, I'm
pedis primus.
I think pedicure's feet.
Ooh.
So I'm getting big toe.
Robbie.
Toe.
Equalizer, the big toe.
Well done.
Thank you.
The big toe.
One.
Digitus, the digit, pedis, foot, primus, big. Yeah. Also known as the hallux, Hallux, Hallux. The lunula. Oh, this is really hard.
Lunula. Is it my turn to go first?
It's your turn to go first. I'll give you a clue. Well, I'll give you a clue. If you don't, I wouldn't know. It's impossible if you don't know. It's on the hand. It's something very small on the hand.
All I've got on my hand is fingernails or skin.
Okay.
So I'm going to go fingernail.
Okay.
Well, yeah, my thinking is like, what are the smallest thing on the hand?
You can say the same as Robbie if you think.
Go outside the book. Is it the hairs on your hand? Is it the hair that you have on the back of your hand?
Robbie's closest. It's actually the whitish crescent at the base of your finger.
I don't want a point for that. That's not close enough.
What's that? The cuticle? Yeah. Well, that kind of means, is that
like,
not a cuticle?
I haven't really got them actually.
Oh, I see what
you
you're
get
saying.
Those sort of slight whitish things.
I know.
I don't really have them either. I don't have a, what was it?
You don't have a lunula.
A lunula.
I cut mine off. I don't know if you can see that. I cut half my fingernail off. My partner got me some very nice Japanese cooking knives for my birthday.
Oh, nice.
First time using it, took off the fingernail. So, but I've nearly got
But you can use that now when you go home.
There you go.
The lunula's gone.
Well, lunula's on the way back, darling. Yeah. That's good news, isn't it?
The uvula. So I'll give you a...
it's that quite... Vic and Bob thing. Or
Yeah. I will give you a clue. This is found... I will give you a clue for this one. It is found in the mouth.
Avula. Is it my
Avula.
Turn to go there?
It's first? Your so, yeah. turn, yes.
Avula. Yeah, no idea. I'm going to go with the ligament that attaches your top lip to the gums above your sort of teeth, your top teeth.
I'm going to go taste bud.
Interesting. I've got no idea what that's called, Jacob. That would have been a good question. Mm. It's that fleshy extension at the back.
Oh, that
I used
down.
To think was your tonsil when I was growing up.
As did I, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And then the anatomical, my favourite, the anatomical snuff box.
I mean, is it your ass? I don't know. It feels like the obvious way to go.
Yeah, it sounds like some kind of slang, doesn't it?
It is. It's real. It's real. Okay. It's not slang. It is this bit between your thumb and forefinger, and it's because that's where people used to sniff their snuff off of. And obviously now people say that it could be called something else, like to do with how you have the. It's where you put the salt if you're going to do a shot. Tequila shot.
Yeah.
So it could be like the tequila groove or something like that.
I've got a tattoo on mine. I don't know if you've seen that. That was another house party regret. Oh, yeah. That was me and my mates went through it.
You need to stop going to house party where there's tattoo
artists. Yeah, we it's my best mate. He went through a stage of wanting to be a tattoo artist, and this desire would only ever come out after a few drinks.
Yeah.
And he had Indian ink and needles where he wanted to, sort of stick and poke. And my body is covered in.
So you got a tattoo on your anatomical snuff box.
On my anatomical snuff box.
Yeah. Where do you want the tattoo? My anatomical snuff box. Which?
Yeah, that could go really wrong if you ask that.
Bend over.
I think it's where you think it is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll call it a draw then. One all.
Score draw.
Well played. It's quite a hard quiz.
Not a high scoring tie.
No.
Very much took it to the corners at the end there.
But we've all got some knowledge out of it.
We have.
Yeah.
I've forgotten most of the knowledge apart from that last one.
Yeah.
Because it's the last thing to get in my head.
Yeah.
There's not much room with the beer deluxe.
Yeah.
There's knowledge. Great. Dan, thank you for your pub quiz.
You're welcome.
Right, Jacob, you get two spirits in your pub. What's your first choice?
I'll start with brandy.
Okay.
Ideally, Courvoisier. This is one of the few choices on my menu where I don't really have a story behind it. Mm-hmm. I don't really have a reason. I just really like it. Brandy. Yeah. Really enjoy it. I don't have enough hairs on my chest to be a whiskey drinker. I don't really enjoy vodka. It's a drink that I drink out of necessity sometimes when I've had enough long drinks, I want a short. Brandy for me, the month of December is usually ruined by brandy. Because it's a Christmas drink for me. And I every night after, even if I've just had sort of two beers with dinner, I'll say it's time for a brandy.
Yeah.
Have a brandy, have two brandies, have three brandies and have an awful headache the next morning. But I just really enjoy it. It's my mum and dad drank it growing up. It's something I've enjoyed since I was young. And it's one of the few spirits I've not got fed up with. You know, usually if you have a spirit you quite like, you overdo it for a period and then that's gone. Which I've definitely done with things like Malibu and even gin to a certain extent. Brandy, I just really love it. And I think you can enjoy it in so many. And it's so nice at the end of a good meal. Mm, you know, if you finish your dessert, let's have a brandy. It's my nan's husband, who, bless him, we lost sort of 18 months ago. He was probably the one who introduced it to me when I was quite young. That's probably something over a Christmas meal that he would have given to me when he shouldn't have done. But it's sort of sweet enough that you enjoy it more than a whiskey. Yeah. Lovely on its own, lovely with a little dash of Coke. It's one thing that there's there's a Wetherspoons near me. I don't know if you know the Coronet on Holloway Road. It's actually just closed because it's going to stop being a Wetherspoons. It's going to be a different kind of pub. It's an amazing pub. It's an old sort of theatre. It was a cinema hundreds of years ago or so. But it's an Arsenal pub, and I go to most Arsenal games. And it's one of those, if I've had loads of beer a football match and then I just can't have any more long drinks, I have to have a short, I'll go for a brandy. But frequently at that pub, it was sort of people that didn't really, the people working there didn't really understand what they were pouring. And so you go, oh, can I have a brandy with a little bit of Coke? And they just try and give you a fucking pint of Pepsi. I love it. I've always got a brandy in. I've always got a brandy in my house. Always try and give it to people. Most of the time they don't want it. Just really enjoy it.
I'm a big fan. Do you have a snifter? That's the glass, isn't it, for brandy?
Yeah, yeah. I do. I've got a couple in my house.
It's my favourite glass name.
It's a snifter.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Pass the snifter. I want some brandy.
Yeah. It's just lovely, warm, and it's sort of sweet enough that it's not like a whiskey where you have one. It's just, lovely drink.
I don't drink it much, but I have enjoyed it whenever I've had it.
I've got quite into it now.
Have you?
Wife's from Romania, and I've people there drink it quite a lot because Moldova does a great, you can't call it cognac, but basically cognac.
Yeah.
Moldova, apparently, in Romania certainly, are really respected for their incredible cognac stroke brandy. So if you ever get, I recommend getting hold of a bottle
I'll look into that,
Moldovan
definitely.
Cognac.
I will look into that.
Honestly. Yeah, it's really nice.
So I like trying different ones. Courvoisier is obviously the easy option, but I've been bought all sorts over the years.
Yeah.
I think people sort of know that's what I like. My nephew, my best mate's kid, we sort of do Secret Santa, and he got me a hip flask with a little bottle of that for Christmas, which is great. Mm. I can't remember which one he got me, but I'll definitely try them on Moldovan cognac.
Search
that
it
sounds
out.
Great.
And then in Greece, we had a lot of them. It's called Metaxa or something like that.
Yeah, I do. I know what you mean. I don't remember the name, but as I say, I spent a few summers in Greece when I was young. I used to drink that while I was there.
And that's quite good because you look at the menu and it's like, and there's one that said this one's 5 stars. And then there's another one that's like 7 stars. And there's another one that's 12 stars. Yeah. It sort of got up in price. Yeah. And I was there with my friend Sergio. We were just like, we've got after 12 stars.
Yeah.
It is 12 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice.
That's very Greek, that they have 12 stars.
Yeah, 12 stars.
As I said, I spent sort of 3 summers working in Falaraki.
Yeah.
And you do realise that nothing's what you think it is. The star system, they bend it to suit their will.
I like an unconventional marketing system or something that's not to our conventions. Mm. I've got a friend who's Norwegian, my friend Desi, and he... When he says something's good, he'll go, it's 6 out of 6. And they mark everything out of 6, not out of 10.
Yeah.
Which I find really funny.
Oh.
I love stuff like that. I love my mate of mine spent a week this when we were students. You know when you're students and time just doesn't matter and you can do whatever you want? I think we were drinking a lot of brandy at this time. A friend of mine, when we were students, tried to do a 10-hour day. He tried to get rid of the 12 hours and just do 10. And he just made it himself. And he spent a week. So he started, over on the Monday, it got to sort of 10 o'clock in the morning, he went, right, it's lunchtime now. And we were like, what do you mean? He goes, I'm going to start counting again from now. So when we were doing 11 o'clock, he was 1 o'clock.
Right.
And he did a week like that. And going to bed as if it was those times. So by about Thursday, it had gone mad. Because he was like 8 hours behind. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't know if I'm explaining this. I don't know
so
if this makes sense. It was nuts. But by Friday, it was like having like dinner at like 10 in the morning. And he genuinely tried to do it. He tried to like go, he was like...
Stuck with it.
He came up with this theory that it would be a better way to live. And I don't know why. I remember it was sort of springtime when it would stay light quite late as well. But yeah, he tried to do 20-hour days. 20-hour days, but you call it lunchtime at 10. And it's kind of that thing of going, the metric system or, how we usually count things. Let's just try and break that and see. And you only do it when you're a student, when you've got time on your hands, you've got nothing else to do. This is it. I mean, the guy was paying $9,000 a year to study a degree and he was going to bed at 4 in the afternoon.
Yeah. this is a bit weird. We've got a lecture at 3 a.m.
He was sort of doing it. And he was like, I'm just going to try and live like this. I remember it just got to Friday. It was like, you've lost your mind. Like you're living in a weird universe that shouldn't exist. But
I wonder how long it would take for it to come back round into sync.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gave up on, it was, I remember at the weekend, it was either the Saturday or the Sunday, he was like, this is fucked. Like, he was in his pyjamas when we were sort of like making lunch.
And also for him, by then it was like a different day, wasn't it?
Yeah. But he'd like, gone ahead.
This is Friday.
I think that's why he stopped, because by the time we were on like Saturday morning, he'd actually finished the week.
He was at lecture going, why is nothing happening?
I don't think he should be allowed to rejoin at the stage that we're all in. His birthday should now be a day earlier.
Because he's gone. Tried that. Very strange. Very weird way to live. But yeah, I do like when people break those systems and try and change things a bit.
Brilliant.
What's going with brandy in your pub? Your other spirit.
My other spirit, again, I need to quickly grab the name.
I'll show you.
Thank you very much. Casamigos tequila.
I've never had it.
Casamigos.
Apologies. Casamigos tequila. And this is very much influenced by my fiance, who it's less tequila. I if I'm going to have a shot, it is tequila, just because all the other ones are dreadful. It's Sambuca. I get PTSD. It's like Vietnam flashbacks if someone brings a Sambuca near me now. Like too many nights that have gone wayward that were sort of steered by the horrible taste of Sambuca. So tequila is the shot I can do, but it's mainly that, because I love a margarita. That Casamigos makes an absolutely mean margarita, and I love margaritas. It's something my girlfriend, my fiance, she really really loves a margarita, and it's, again, it's that thing of like, if you know, we don't really get nights out because of the kids, so if we have a night where we manage to get them to sleep, and the rare occasion where they do actually stay in bed and sleep, and we have a takeaway and make cocktails, it'll always be a margarita. And this is the tequila that we go with. I've been bought it as a gift. I've been, you know, it's been a couple of times when I've done TV stuff as a comedian where they'll say, oh, can we get you a bottle to say thanks for doing it? I'll always pick this because it goes down so well with the fiance. I should say I'm in trouble at the moment because she got me a bottle for Christmas. But we had a lot of people around Christmas Day. We had her mother, well, her mum, my mother-in-law, our friends, our two best friends and their kids, two other mates, and then two other mates joined at night. It was like a New Year's Eve party. It was a bit heavy. We sort of got to the 8 p.m. lull, and we pushed through by drinking shots of this. And she wasn't best pleased because she was like, "That's the fancy tequila that I bought for cocktails, and you guys were just shotting it in the kitchen." But yeah, it's a really nice tequila. It's got a really nice sort of that sort of smoky flavor to it. You know, that real kind of like it's nice and deep, nice and woody. And it makes a mean margarita, and I do love a margarita. That's my cocktail of choice.
Well, I mean, to be fair to you, I think drinking it neat is probably how it was designed. Do you know who invented this tequila?
No.
Oh, that's interesting.
Go on.
So it was invented by global superstar George Clooney. And his friends, the businessman and former model Randy Gerber, who's married to Cindy Crawford. Yeah, they really liked tequila. They went down to Mexico and they went, we want to make a really good tequila. But they made it for themselves. Like, it was literally, this is just like...
It's not really, for global consumption, not to sell.
Small batch for ourselves to drink, to sip. To drink without not as a cocktail. So you know, you've got something to say back to your fiance.
Have you got an image of the bottle there?
Yeah.
This looks fresh out of Mexico.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? The bottle.
It's all made there.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I know. But then, for years I've been serving this to people, whether it's a shot while they're at my house or a margarita, going, yeah, we've got this good Mexican stuff.
Made by this authentic Mexican man.
It's like in my head there's a guy with a sombrero who's hitched up his donkey and then put the acoustic down so that he could brew this stuff, and in reality it's George Clooney in a factory.
I think it is a genuinely that image you've got is probably not that far from the truth, but it was made, their story is it was literally made, we make a few bottles because we love tequila, it's just for us.
Right.
And then they went, this is really good, because it was made like properly, you know, old school style. So they started making something to sell, and then they sold to Diageo for $700 million.
Wow.
So they paid the equivalent of $500 a bottle to buy the brand.
Incredible.
Yeah. So, but... But yeah, no, but I mean, it's a premium
It's good stuff. It's good stuff. It's very. Yeah. Oh, is it really? I didn't know how much my Christmas present cost. That's good.
Put a value on love.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. That's nice to know. Nice to know. I can understand why she's pissed off that we drank it all on Christmas Day now as well.
Yeah. It was far too long in my life when I discovered that there was nice tequila. Mm. Do you know what I mean? Because when you're young, you get the cheapest wine, you have shots of it, and you go, ugh. Yeah, and then you find out there's actual tequila that tastes lovely. And you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's a completely different drink. It's always the one with the sort of plastic sombrero on the cap that you drink when you're young, yes. isn't it? Yeah, I can't remember what it's called, but that's what you have when you're younger. And then as you say, you go, actually, there's quite a nice sort of peppery, warm flavour to this if you have it good.
Yeah.
And the Casamigos absolutely has that.
When my friend Mike buying me a bottle of tequila when he went to Mexico, I was like, what have you done that for? What waste? And they're going, oh. Actually, this is
it's really
glorious.
Drinkable. Yeah.
Fabulous. Wow. Okay. So a couple of terrific spirits choices there, Jacob. Jacob, do you own a bar?
I wondered when this would come up. yes, I do. I do. I do own a bar in North London. I should give it a plug. I'm just thinking. Do I want to? Yeah. I want to plug my tour, really.
You can do both.
So I own a bar in Tottenham called Unit 3, and it's called Unit 3 because it is part of a kind of warehouse up there. It's you know like in Hackney and Haringey, they've got these sort of trendy warehouses that have got studios and photography studios and cafes and restaurants, blah blah. So that's kind of what we've got. So the story is me and my best mate is a barber. I've mentioned him a couple of times in this podcast. He cuts hair. When I finished university, I wanted to stay living in London whilst still doing stand-up and not really making any money out of it. So he got me a job in a barber shop, not cutting hair, just helping to run the shop with him. 4 or 5 years later, I was a comedian. I did the Edinburgh Fringe, made a bit of money. He knew that. And he said to me, listen, mate, we always said we'd like to do this. Would you like to open a barber shop together? So we've done that. We've got two barbershops in Finsbury Park and Tottenham. I don't have a huge involvement, to be honest with you, apart from the financial outlay at the beginning. And now my main input is that I drive clean towels around. But then with the Tottenham one, in the warehouse that we were in, there was a sort of cafe at the front called Craving Coffee.
Right.
Which is sort of quite well known in Tottenham. It's a really, really good place. They left, moved over the road. The unit became available and we went, fuck it, should we just do it? So Unit 3 was ours. So yeah, we opened our own bar.
So you've got a bar and a barber's?
Bar and a barber's. I've got two barber shops and a bar. And the bar is run by two mates of ours, who Mo and Simon, who do a great job. And it's kind of cafe during the daytime, but then parties in the evenings. And the parties are... That's kind of where it's at. Like, I won't lie to you, it's not the most profitable thing I've ever done in my life, but it's just really cool. It's just like we're mates with the people that work there. All my birthdays I do there. New Year's Eve we do there. And it's sort of 40, 50 people dancing on tables, throwing drinks out from behind the bar, and we get to do whatever we want.
£50 bottles of tequila.
Yeah, I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to pretend that we stock Casamigos.
But do you have beer deluxe?
I'm trying to think what we do have. Actually, we've got a couple of craft beers in at the moment. What's it called? Jiddler's Tipple, which is a local beer brewed in Haringey that we've got up there at the moment. But it's. Yeah, I guess you guys have built a podcast around what would we do if we owned a bar.
Yeah.
And I live that reality. And I've got to be honest with you, it's a lot of spreadsheets.
Yeah.
it's a lot of spreadsheets. It's a lot of using an accounting software called Xero or QuickBooks. But it is also getting to sort of say to local musicians and people like that, do you want to come and do something here and do fun stuff? And we've had a tattoo artist called Katie Jordan using the space as an art gallery for the last week, which is really cool. Do a lot of stuff like that. Hannah Zenzabi, who's a fantastic Moroccan photographer, lives in the area. She used it for a gallery for a couple of weeks over the summer. I don't really know how to best describe it. It's a very small space at the top of a warehouse in Tottenham in an industrial estate that smells of smoked fish because there's a factory next door that makes kippers. And there's a car park full of ice cream vans next door as well, which I'm not sure why. But it is we do kind of live the dream in the sense that we've got this space at the front of a warehouse where we can do whatever we want. There's no one that's going to complain about noise at night, so we can party till 9 a.m. if we want to. But we can also set up a really cool thing. There's a friend of mine called Vicky. She's got her own noodle brand, Yang's Noodles. She set up a kind of supper club there over the summer. Yeah. And we just do fun stuff like that. We don't really make any money, but we manage to pay the people that work there. And yeah, it's very fun. And I feel very fortunate that I get to say that I do that. Yeah,
and have to go down. We have to go and visit.
Yeah, I'll do. Come visit. And the other nice thing as well is there's I try and keep it quite separate from my comedy life, my real job, which feels weird that it's going and telling jokes is my real job. But other comedians kind of know that I do it now. And I don't know if you know a comedian called Sakisa. She's brilliant, but she's a big wrestling fan, so she threw a WrestleMania party there.
Amazing.
Year. So it's just fun little things like that tend to happen, which is quite cool. People have done fashion like what would you call it? They've started fashion brands and sort of done runways in there and stuff like that. So yeah, it's kind of what would happen if a load of teenagers got access to a space and just fucked around and did stupid stuff that makes no money, but it's sort of fun for everyone involved.
Brilliant.
Amazing.
Look forward to checking that out.
Yeah.
Jacob, you've come up with some great suggestions for your pub so far, but what we like to do here is Dan will speak to listeners of the podcast and come up with a suggestion for something you could have in your pub. You don't have to accept it. You can reject it completely if you want. Dan, who have you been speaking to this week?
I've been speaking to Tim. Mm-hmm. Get ready for his suggestion.
Hi, this is Tim here. And in this week's pub, I think there should be a collection of life-sized Mark Owen of Take That fame bendable cardboard cutouts. So these will be available upon request from behind the bar and can be used to take care of your chair when you go to the toilet, preventing people from constantly coming over and asking, "Sorry, mate, are you using this chair?" Important that it's Mark Owen, as he's a non-threatening figure. Nobody's going to kick off if somebody does ask him a question and he doesn't respond because he's made of cardboard. Nobody would boot off with Mark Owen. So that's my thought for the day.
Wow. So Mark Owen, cardboard cutouts you can use to reserve seats. Jacob, thoughts?
I've just had to Google which one Mark Owen is.
Yeah.
And I think a part of the issue with the suggestion is Mark Owen is the least threatening member of Take That. They're not a threatening band at the best of times.
Yeah.
But Mark Owen is the one who kind of looked quite sort of like, you know, sort of cute is the word I would use in the 90s. And nowadays...
He's older.
He's older, I guess that's the easiest way of saying it.
We've all got older since the 90s, haven't we, Robbie?
Let's be honest, the suggestion's insane. But if you're going to make it work, I think Jason Orange is a better member of Take That to use because he was the burly one.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? He was the taller, kind of beardy, kind of muscular one. I would much, you know, pretend that they're not cutouts. I would much easier steal a seat off Mark Owen than off Jason Orange. Jason Orange.
Oh, so it's got like a downside to it because he's unthreatening. Nice. Going to go. Well, I'd take his seat Mark anyway. Owen.
Yeah, I don't respect Mark.
I'd take his lunch money on the way out. Whereas Jason Orange is the kind of burly, beardy. Fucking hell! Don't take his seat.
Yeah.
So I think the suggestion's mad, but I think if you're to make it work, you have to swap which Take That member it would be.
To back up your theory, my friend Ed does lights for bands.
Yes,
and he was at Glastonbury 1 year. And Mark Owen was playing there and he was near to where their trailer was near to whatever band Ed was with. And he went over to Mark Owen and just said, "Mark, Ed, I haven't seen you for ages. How are you?" And he'd never met Mark Owen. And Mark Owen was really polite. He was going, "Oh, hi, Ed, how are you?" Something like that. And he spent the entire weekend with Mark Owen thinking he knew him from somewhere, but not knowing where from.
Being too polite to...
Too polite to say no. So I don't think... So that's a lovely thing from Mark Owen.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to be able to defend your chair.
No, he won't defend the chair. That's so your mate kind of knew that Mark Owen didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
But played the game of going, I reckon you're too polite to call me out.
And it kind of worked.
That's fucking wonderful.
That's quite a good idea of meeting celebs if you want to meet a celeb, isn't it? Pretend that you already know them.
Yeah. Hey, George.
Yeah.
Clooney. It's me.
George Clooney.
We did the tequila together.
Yeah.
You never sent me the bottle.
Yeah.
Bang.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, because he'd be the same. He's so suave and sophisticated. He'd go, polite. Of course I remember you,
Jake. Sure, man. You were there.
Yeah.
You were there in Mexico when we designed the stuff. Yeah. Excellent.
So are we rejecting it outright or are you letting the Jason Owen...
Swap it for Orange.
Orange.
And it's in. Swap it for all original sink. So I do quite like, I like something to hold the seat for me.
Yeah.
That is a bit nice of a bug
idea. It's a good idea, yeah, like to have it. That. But yeah, it's yeah. Jason Orange it is then. So sort of accepted there. Thank you for your suggestion, Tim.
Great suggestion, Tim.
If anyone's got a suggestion for something that could go into a future pub, you can email me, robbie@moonunderpod.com with your idea. And we will suggest it to a future guest. Time now for the pub jukebox, Jacob. Yes. And you get to put in one CD or mini disc into the jukebox. What's it going to be?
Well, I feel that we seeded this earlier with our conversation about Stevenage and Nebworth. But it will be Robbie Williams, and it will be live from Nebworth.
Oh, wonderful.
I love Robbie Williams.
I love Robbie Williams.
I really like Robbie Williams. And this album and performance and the time that which this music kind of reminds... It's a very nostalgic episode, I guess, what I've been speaking about for most of this. This reminds me of kind of like Pure Britannia, New Labour, Things Can Only Get Better. These were the good times. This was pre-Iraq War. This was like everything's working.
We were hopeful
young nation.
We were a bit of a time in our lives. And I'm 46 where it was good.
This is the tiniest window where it felt like it was all going to be all right. And I was young at the time, but I was like, this is it, man. This is good. He's left, take that. He's doing all right. And all the music that he played, you know, Angels for me is still... That's kind of school discos. Try and kiss the girl on before you go.
Closing song at a nightclub for
me. I was going to say much better for you because when I was at school and school disco for the kiss, trying to kiss the girls, it was Lady in Red by Christa Burke.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah. Different times.
But I'm very fortunate to have had.
Very
have
fortunate. Had yeah, you are.
But then,
yeah.
but then you know, Millennium, Rock DJ, all those kind of tracks, and it's also good pub music because it's not dance music. It's not EDM. Do you know what I mean? We're not talking about house.
Yeah.
But it's get up and have a boogie. And this for me is kind of karaoke music. I've learned in my life that my voice can either do Elton John or Robbie Williams. Two people who for years people have said can't actually sing. And this is what I can do. So this for me is kind of feel good, the good times. This is when things thought they might be all right for a very small window. And it's kind of get up and like if feel comes on in a pub, you're getting up.
Yeah.
If it's late enough and you've had a Casamigos shot, you're getting up and dance. It's not dance music. It's not too loud. It's not too heavy. It's not rock music, which would be a bit too much. It's kind of feel good. It's not Britpop, but it's not too far away, you know? And I think
I can imagine you at the bar just like lining up the Casamigos shots. Robbie Williams comes on. Yeah. Everyone's like, it's that time of
that's
night.
That's it. Yeah.
Here we go.
Do you know what as well? Like those kind of like early to mid noughties bangers are having their resurgence now because it's 20 years since then. I mean, I don't know if you've watched Saltburn.
Not yet.
It's kind of like the viral film of the moment.
Yeah.
But that has kind of spawned a kind of resurgence for Sophie Ellis-Bextor because I think there's one scene where they use murder on the dance floor. Now, without wanting to sound like the most hipster prick in the world, last year in our bar, Unit 3, I was DJing and I dropped that at about 3 in the morning and people were on tables and lights were being swung around because people were going nuts.
Yeah.
It's because we're at that perfect... In the same way that sort of 90s fashion and bucket hats and kind of... you know, the Stone Roses sort of came in again 5 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you might remember that sort of five years ago, everyone started wearing bucket hats and listening to the Stone Roses. Like, that is the rule. It's just 20 years.
Yeah.
Mm. That's how nostalgia, that's how fashion works. It's literally just 20 years. You can do it by the date. And right now, we're 2024 and Robbie Williams from 2004 is it, you know?
Yeah. I saw Robbie Williams twice live around, well, in the late 90s. I saw him in... UEA when he just left Take That, but UEA RCR. And I saw him in Vancouver and my friend Jack got thrown out for crowd surfing.
Wow.
Thrown out of a Robbie Williams gig for crowd surfing. That is.
Yeah.
And then I met Robbie Williams once.
Did you?
I used to work at Soccer AM at Sky.
Yes.
And when I was there, we were doing some filming with Paddy McGuinness on stage for a sketch or something like that. We were in his dressing room and Robbie Williams came in and he came over and he was really nice. He introduced himself. But he said... He said, oh, hi, that's me. And I said, oh, hi, Robbie, meaning like my name's Robbie. But it sounded like, I went, no, my name's Robbie. And then it just sounded like I was trying to, it just went weird. So I've got bad memories for that.
Yeah.
From that ever
since. That's
so
one of the most British interactions
I've
heard.
Yeah, it was. It just kept saying Robbie at him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a bit sad. But yeah, a terrific. Favourite track from that live album?
I remember him doing Angels and dedicating it to his mum.
Oh,
and that was, I remember my mum watching it on television and weeping. That's
nice. He knows how to press the button.
Yeah. I imagine there was some like kind of like some sort of producer in his ear going, dedicated to your mum.
Mums will like that. Mums will love that. Yeah. Demographic.
My first post-divorce pint, the gin I had in Hull, my nan's homemade buckfast. The rum I drank with Liz Hurley. The lager I stole from the pigeon detectives.
Okay, time now for a drink in time, where the Moon Underwater will transport you back through the very fabric of time to a drink you can relive from your past.
Wonderful. Well, I'll go back to, as I've mentioned before, I spent some of my late teens, early 20s in Falaraki. And as I say, in Greece, things aren't often as they seem. When I was working at a certain bar, the guy would get us to kind of, you know, fill up the Smirnoff bottles with cheap vodka that he'd bought from the local Greek supermarket. There's a lot of that going on. And one of the things that he got us to push once was red vodka. Oh. And the brand of which, again, I assume you have written
it. Ursus, is it?
Yes. So I think it's a...
which is bear in Romania.
Yeah, so this is an Eastern European drink flavoured... I don't know what kind of berry it's flavoured with, but I assume it's some kind of red berry that it's flavoured with. It's roughly 20%, I think.
Oh, we must have had something like this at a Romanian wedding I went to last summer.
Possibly.
Because we had a load of red and blue shots.
Yeah. So basically, my deal when I sort of started working at this bar, we were the band, we were the house band for this bar, and he was, I mean, it's crazy looking back, but we had somewhere to stay, €15 a night and drink whatever you want. And you know, when you're 18, you go, well, yeah, you can eat off €15 a day.
Yeah.
We're going to drink whatever we want. We've got somewhere to stay. What more could you possibly
exactly.
want?
I mean, it's a perfect deal.
It quickly transpired that he's like, when I said you could drink whatever you want, you can't, and it's red vodka. And so we were drinking this Eastern European red vodka. And it's like, the problem is, it was at every hour of the day.
Yeah.
Like, as you say, look, at a wedding, in a shot, sure, red vodka. When it's your first drink of the night, you're trying to mix it with lemonade. Do you know what I mean? It's like when it's 10 o'clock, maybe you're shotting it. By the end of the night, you've done 8 hours of red vodka. It's so sweet and it's so kind of tart.
It does sound like it.
Yeah. It does just remind me of being young, being kind of cornered by a bit of a Greek con artist and being stuck with this stuff for a whole summer. And good memories nonetheless, I will say.
Excellent. What was the best night on the red vodka?
Oh, Christ.
That you can tell us.
Well, yeah, I know. I'm just this sort of filter in my mind is going, what has to be cut out? What can be said? The best night, actually, there was kind of almost like a festival in Falaraki where there was like a kind of street party and our band performed on a roundabout. It was like they erected a stage on a roundabout. And there were basically two streets that made up Falaraki, Club Street and Bar Street, which were exactly what you'd imagine they are. Obviously, they had real Greek names that no one ever said. So on the roundabout that connected both Club Street and Bar Street, me and, you know, four other teenagers got to perform, you know, Oasis covers and Mr. Brightside in front of a few hundred drunk people. And it's the closest I'll ever feel to being Robbie Williams at Nebworth. And it was fueled by red vodka, which was amazing.
That's incredible.
It's time now to find out Jacob's dream pub companion. But that is only for those of you who have invested in the Moon Underwater Patreon. If you want to find out how you can subscribe, you can do so at moonunderpod.com. And for the rest of you, we'll be back after this ad break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You are barred.
Right, Jacob, we've asked what you want in your pub, but now it is time to choose what you don't want in your pub. You get to bar or ban one thing from your Moon Underwater. What are you kicking out?
I've gone for the NFL and other American sports.
All American sports?
I think so. I'm sort of thinking in my mind now, is there one I would keep? The sport itself of the NFL, I've tried watching it a few times. I've tried to enjoy it a few times and I've struggled to because it's just got so many ad breaks. I don't know if you've ever watched a game. It just stops every 5 minutes and they show another advert. But it's especially what London becomes. You know, they do like a London NFL. They play a game at Wembley, don't they?
It's just because they play at Spurs, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's part of the problem. I'm an Arsenal fan, and I don't like them doing it. I actually use it as a point of ridicule for my Spurs friends that they make more of their money from Beyonce concerts and NFL games than they do.
They've got dressing rooms specifically for the NFL.
At Spurs, haven't they?
They've got separate from the football ones on the other side.
And the stadium was very much built with the kind of thinking of like we'll use it for Spurs, but if we can get Beyonce and if we can do NFL, we can do all of that as well. I mean, the interesting thing about Spurs, and I don't want to sound, I've obviously got a bar in Tottenham, so it's not as if I hate the area of Tottenham as many Arsenal fans do. It's interesting. One thing about that Spurs stadium that I find quite interesting, the bar. Have you been to a game there?
I've actually been to an NFL game there.
Have you really?
Yeah. Wow.
So I don't know. I assume that was a kind of earlier kickoff. That sort of thing is always on a Sunday, isn't it?
It was an evening game.
I was an evening.
Yeah. I can't remember who's playing us there, but I enjoyed it. It was good fun, but yeah, it wasn't even.
So the interesting thing about the Tottenham Stadium, and this tells you a lot about the areas of where the Arsenal Stadium is in Islington in comparison to Tottenham. Yeah. So you might have noticed the bar at Tottenham stays open after the games.
Right.
That never happens at the Emirates in Arsenal because when the Emirates was built, there was an agreement with the local council that you have to shut as soon as the game finishes so that people spread out and go to the neighbouring bars and restaurants and stuff.
Oh, to sort of support the local businesses.
That doesn't exist in Tottenham. I don't know if you know where the Tottenham Stadium is. Yeah. Like, if they were to try and do that, three pubs would explode because so they have to keep the bar open in Tottenham because there isn't the infrastructure for them to go out on the street and find somewhere else to drink. But the NFL, I don't like, and this happens quite a lot in London, where like London pubs will suddenly try and cater to that.
Yeah.
You know, you've got all these guys in the big shirts and they're eating chicken wings and the pubs. Like, any other fucking time. What annoys me about London, less so now because I don't go out as much, but like, London shuts so early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This whole thing of it's the city that never sleeps, absolute rubbish. You try and get a drink after 1 a.m. on a Saturday night in London,
it's impossible
without spending £30 on a ticket to a DJ you don't actually want to see, right? Well, the NFL kicks off. Suddenly they're open till 4 a.m. As long as you're buying chicken wings with ranch dressing, you can stay all night. And I think what I don't like about it is it brings out a side of me that I don't like, whereas it brings out a kind of inner nationalist that I spend my days trying to bury. Uncle Carl.
Yeah, I was going to say, Uncle Carl's all over this. Yeah.
You know, there's something about the disappearance of the orange squirrels and the grey ones from America that took their place. And it's like, my pubs. It makes me feel strangely threatened, the NFL. It makes me feel territorial and scared. And I've tried to enjoy it. I can't get into it. And I think it makes me feel bitter is what it makes me feel. It makes me feel bitter that there are people that can accept this other culture and their enjoyment. I would also say a big part of it, and this has nothing to do with pubs, in the block of flats that I mentioned earlier that I lived in while my girlfriend was pregnant and my daughter was born, there were an American couple who lived above us. Not their fault. They loved American football. They'd stay up till 4 a.m. watching American football, stamping on the floor whilst we're trying to sleep with the baby downstairs. And I think that's kind of given me that kind of twitch against anything to do with the NFL. And so when I go into a pub now, I immediately become the 3 a.m. dad trying to get the baby to sleep while there's people upstairs hooting and honking because the fucking Detroit Beavers have just scored a try or whatever they do. I don't know.
Well, next time that the NFL comes to town, you can just show off your tattoo that celebrates the taking over of New Netherlands and becoming New York. Yes.
Drink up, please. It's time.
Jacob, it's been a really fun time having you here at the Moon Underwater. If you've enjoyed this and they want to see some of your comedy, what can they do?
They can go to jacobhawley.co.uk and buy tickets to see me on tour. I'm going on a tour of the country until June at the moment. Probably add some more dates after that. Big tour. Yeah, big tour. Big London show at the Park Theatre in Finsbury Park at the end of the tour.
You coming to Norwich? That's the question I ask everyone.
Not yet. Not yet.
Lost the room.
So peek behind the curtain. Okay. The way you do these tours nowadays.
You put some on.
Yeah. They should sell out. And then you go, we're doing a tour extension that we started booking before we booked the initial tour. so yes, there's a current list on my website, my Instagram, at Jacob Hawley as well. Dates in North Wales, Newcastle, Oxford, Norwich. And many others will be announced soon for the second half of the year. So yes, I will. Wherever people are, I'm coming.
You'll be there.
You have to.
It's sounding vaguely like a threat, but okay. My tickets. I'll be there.
And if there's anything, it's
bringing Uncle Carl.
Yeah, me and Uncle Carl coming around if you don't buy a ticket.
Thank you,
Jacob. There's one final thing to do, and that is name this pub.
Yes.
What are you going to call it?
The Farting Toby.
Brilliant.
The Farting Toby. It's a kind of in-joke within my WhatsApp group that our faces are becoming fuller and sort of looser and we're starting to look like Toby jugs. And the act of farting for me is a kind of metaphor for what I do in pubs. Let it out. Relax, let it out, and don't complain about the smell. That's it. So the Farting Toby is the pub.
And the picture is sort of just... A Toby jug with
eyes, nose, and mouth, and a sort of a puff of green smoke behind it.
Maybe a clothes peg on the nose.
Yeah, perfect.
Nice.
Fabulous. Terrific. Jacob, thank you so much for coming and joining us here in the Moon Underwater.